From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in a court decision when Judge Scott Odorizzi ruled that the City of Rochester's proposal to give voters a November referendum is against the law. The city wanted voters to decide whether to open the door for a state takeover of the Rochester City School Board. Mayor Lovely Warren has been a vocal supporter of both the referendum and a state takeover. Judge Odorizzi acknowledged, quote, the great challenges facing the Rochester City School District. He states that the city's proactive proposals for remedying the situation are, quote, admirable, but not legally permissible, end quote. Odorizzi was also critical about a letter sent out to some city residents about the upcoming referendum, which Mayor Lovely Warren's office says was designed to educate residents about the issue. The judge says the letter's message is a, quote, loud and clear endorsement of referendum that smacks of prohibited advocacy, end quote. Now, Mayor Warren responded almost immediately, promising an appeal, which city attorneys have now filed. And in a video addressed to the children of Rochester, she said that the school district leaders are actively trying to keep them uneducated and unable to succeed, all so district leaders can keep their jobs and make more money. Mayor Warren has not come on this program since July of 2017. She said she felt our last conversation was deeply unfair to her. She's not willing to return, and we regret that. We continue to reach out to the city in an effort to change her mind on that. We have to respect her decision. And today, we do welcome two guests to discuss this important and sensitive issue, important not just for the kids of Rochester, but for everybody, I think. And Van White is the president of the Rochester City School Board. Nice to have you back here. Thanks for being here, Van.
Hey, Evan. How you doing?
Very good. And Malik Evans is a former school board president, who's now a member of Rochester City Council, worn a lot of hats. Nice to have you back.
Lots of hats. Good to be here, Evan.
Well, I was asking Malik what his presidency of the board was, and you mentioned that Van was your vice president when you
were. That's right. Me and Van were a dynamic duo.
Well, that's right. This is a family reunion. Not a debate. This is a family reunion, Evan.
Right. Let me first do this here. I want to listen to what Mayor Warren had to say, some of what she had to say, and I didn't want to sort of overstate her words, but her video addressed to the children of the city of Rochester was blistering. And here she is talking about what she believes to be not just an incompetent leadership of the school district, but frankly, one that wants to keep students from succeeding. Let's listen.
What is happening in Rochester is no different than is what is happening in Washington. We have the powerful working every day to protect the status quo and deny you the opportunity to live to your fullest potential. Why? I believe they see you as a threat. That denying you a quality of education is the only way to protect what they have. That is truly sad, but most of all, it is shameful.
I want to put a point on that. The mayor is saying that school district leadership is trying actively to deny a quality education to the kids of Rochester. Not that they're not doing a good job, not that they're failing to improve, but they don't want to provide good education because they want to protect what they have. Malik, do you agree with that?
Again, I don't speak for the mayor.
I'm asking if you agree with the mayor.
I know that people work very hard at the district. Obviously, there are great challenges there, and the mayor has made clear that she sees things as not great over at the Rochester City School District. The district has come a long way, but they still have a long way to go, I think, in terms of making it better for all children. I think what's instructive and what's important for all of us as a community, though, Evan, is to work together to ensure that we can move this system forward, because the city's success is tied to the school district success, and the district's success is tied to the school district success. So what I'm interested in is how can we as a community move this system forward so that way it works for all children, and that the city of Rochester gets the ultimate benefit, because people will want to stay in the city and send their kids to city schools, and we'll have a workforce that's educated. So I think that we should keep the focus there on things that we can work on together collectively, and obviously not be afraid to have conversations when we do have disagreements around policy or issues that are out there.
I mean, listen, the mayor in this video addressed to the children of the city of Rochester tell them that your school leaders don't want you to succeed, that they want you to accept a broken system and just be happy with that. Why should the kids hear that and decide, I'm going to keep going to school? I mean, why should parents say, I'll keep sending kids to those schools?
I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to ask the mayor that question. But I think that it's important that kids do go to school, number one, because we got the opening of schools coming up in September. We need all hands on deck in order to ensure that we have a school system that works for everybody. That's what I'm interested in. It's what I was interested in as many years as board president. This is why I pushed for the expansion of pre-K. This is why we did the East High School partnership when I was there, and Van can comment on the successes that's had. I think that we have to find ways to work together, even though we have these adult disagreements that we have, to ensure that we end up making sure that all kids succeed. And that's really what I'm interested in, what I hope to continue to try to push, both as a member of City Council. I happen to chair the Finance Committee on City Council, which is obviously very involved in the school district budget. And as a former board president and board member, I know what it's like to be there. So for me, it's not an academic discussion, because I was in the system both as a graduate and there on the school board. So I know the work that it takes. And I think that as a community, we have to find ways to work together to move the system forward.
Yeah. And so let me just, since this is our first conversation on the program about this, don't worry, Van, we'll get you.
Oh, no, sure.
Because I know you've got a lot to share on this. You wanted to see a referendum for voters, and you support the city's appeal?
I've always supported a referendum, and Van may remember when we had this conversation 10 years ago. I said, you know, the city voters should weigh in on this discussion around around any types of
government. You want voters to have a say.
I always thought voters should
have
a say.
But you did not want a mayoral takeover when Bob Duffy was mayor.
That's right. That's right. And I'm not for mayoral control, never have been. And never will be.
What about a state takeover?
And I'm not saying that a state takeover would be the best thing either. But what I am for is choice, which is why I've tried to be consistent with my referendum push. And if you know, I think it was back in 2009 or 10 when I had a article that was in the Democratic Chronicle that talked about anytime you're talking about any types of governance changes before the state or anyone else intervenes or doing anything, you should take the pulse of the people to see what they want to do. Now, whether or not that's allowed is now an open subject. But we have three branches of government: judicial, legislative, and executive. So I respect whatever decision the courts will make in terms of a referendum. But I think that anytime you talk about changing a change of governance, and you're talking about involving something that people have been involved in for years, they should have a direct say in that.
We just had a primary. We have elections for the school board. Is that enough to allow voters a chance to choose new directions? Some incumbents reelected, some new faces. Is that the kind of opportunity for voters to have a say, or do you want a different kind of opportunity?
Well, I think elections are always great opportunities to have a say. And I always tell, I used to tell people all the time, if you want to change education, run for the school board, which is hard to get people to run for, by the way, because they don't want to be sentenced to purgatory. You can ask Van about that. It's a tough job. But I think elections are obviously important. But I think that if you're talking about ever changing a system, getting rid of elections, people should have to weigh in on that one way or the other. And I always tell people, there's no if this referendum would have taken place, I would not have bet on it passing or failing, because who knows what would have happened. But I think it's in the courts now. We'll see what the court says. And I'll tell you, I will support whatever the courts ultimately decide as it relates to an overall referendum. And if it doesn't happen, if people want to go through the regular route and people think that there should be a different governance change, they should advocate to the state and get them to change that. But in the meantime, what we have to ensure, and what I want to keep bringing the conversation back to, is that the conversation has to be more than just governance, because there are lots of things that we could be doing as a community to work together to solve the issues of the Rochester School District. And I'm talking about expansions in pre-K, transportation, summer learning. There are things that we can work on together as a community, collectively, while we have all these other background conversations about governance and et cetera, et cetera.
Now, I want to turn to Van, and before you get to some news on graduation rates that I know our colleagues at City Newspaper, among others, have been reporting just this morning, we'll get to that in a moment. I want to address what the mayor said while stressing a couple of points. First of all, Councilmember Evans is right. Malik is not here speaking for the mayor. He's speaking for himself. And sometimes this whole question of what's happening in the schools or a possible state takeover gets divided into two camps, for it and against it. And I know it's more nuanced than that. And I think Malik Evans shows us why that is the case today. And again, I don't have the mayor here to sort of discuss her points of view about what she said in the video. But I was struck by the language, because my view is, if my kids are going to a school district, and I have a son, and somebody tells me the people who lead that district don't want him to succeed, They'd be happier if he stays in poverty, doesn't get a good education, doesn't have a good life, as long as they can keep their jobs. My view of those people is they're evil. And I'm not a big fan of language
like that.
But that is actively evil.
Sure.
To want kids to not succeed just so you can keep your job. And the mayor isn't saying, look, I appreciate Willa Powell, Van White, people who have been there for a long time, but they're incompetent.
She's saying,
I'm going to read it again.
You don't have to, but go ahead.
I'm going to read it again. She said, we have the powerful working every day to protect the status quo and deny kids the opportunity to live to their fullest potential. Why? I believe they see you, the children of Rochester, as a threat, that denying you a quality education is the only way to protect what they have. Yeah. That's evil, I think.
Sure, I agree with your assessment that someone saying that is saying of the people that she's referring to are evil, are self-centered, narcissistic.
And want kids to stay in poverty, man.
Right. So let's begin with that, Evan. And I hate to pull in one of my colleagues, but I'm going to. When Willa Powell said something, I won't repeat it, you know what I'm talking about, in the light of the mayor's loss in the decision, she said something that Willa will even concede was disrespectful, right? And many of the mayor's advocates, including the mayor, said that was disrespectful. You shouldn't say that. That was hurtful and disrespectful of the position of mayor. I would respond that what the mayor has said about, and you said it, not me, but I think that your interpretation is a fair construction of her statements, that Van White is self-centered, narcissistic, and doesn't give a damn about kids. That's basically, let's be real. I don't hope you didn't have to bleep that out.
No, it's
but
okay.
But that's essentially what she said. Now, I told Willa that what she said was disrespectful, because it was. And I think Willa apologized as best she could and said it was said out of anger, anxiety, pent-up frustration. No excuse, but that's where she was at. And I would say, respectfully to the mayor, I'm not looking for an apology. Don't think I'm owed one. But we've got to be consistent in our dialogue about this challenge that we all have. We can't say that it's fair to be disrespectful to one set of folks who are trying their best to serve government. And I believe that's what the mayor is trying to do. And then say, but it's okay for me to be downright disrespectful of others. No matter what you think of the results, including the most recent graduation results, in order to resolve this challenge that we all have, it's not just a school district's challenge, it's this community's challenge. We have to deal with each other respectfully. And again, Evan, you said it, I didn't. Her comments are clearly disrespectful. They're not just saying they're not doing a good job, they're not generating results. They're saying they don't care about kids. And I'm just personalizing this because I'm the one here talking today, that Van White doesn't give two hoots about what happens to these kids. He doesn't care if they graduate, that he only cares about his own income that he's getting. Now, by the way, I got to mention, no disrespect intended to my colleague here, but I was working side by side with Malik during, how many years did we work together? Six years, seven years? At two or four of those years, I was his vice president. And I would never say, and Malik just left. But so people got to understand, she's saying this about a whole bunch of people. And it's just not right. And more importantly, it doesn't resolve the problem. She could talk about graduation rates, ELA scores, math scores, what we do with special needs students or what we should be doing for them, what she's doing at the Beacon School, what we're doing at East High School, what we're not doing at East High School. But to personalize this and suggest that people don't care about children is just wrong. It's just as wrong as someone saying to the mayor, shut up. That's not respectful. And by the way, neither of those comments move our kids any further across that graduation stage. So, you know, I hope and pray. Somebody asked me at a press conference when we were announcing, we were talking about the judge's decision. Can you work with the mayor? Absolutely. One, because she is the elected representative of thousands and thousands of people. Two, she's worked hard. And throughout most of her career, she has serviced the people of this community. But the Board of Education, as I'm a representative of that body, takes a backseat to no one in our efforts. And some may be successful and some may not, just like some of the things that happened in the city are successful or not. How they're dealing with the issue of excessive use of force, some would say is unsuccessful. But I would never, ever question the mayor or the chief of police commitment to trying to make this city better. And I would never say, for example, with respect to the poverty rate, they don't care about people that live in poverty, or they don't care about people that have to interact with the police. Because one, that's disrespectful. And two, it doesn't help this community solve the underlying challenges. And the challenges aren't between the mayor and I. And we would be narcissistic and self-centered if we said, it's about what the mayor thinks of me and what I think of her. No, let's get it straight. It is about what's happening day in and day out in our schools and in our streets.
Okay, so before I get to some feedback from listeners, and we're going to probably have feedback all hour long here. I haven't even mentioned the phone number, but I see the phone is ringing here. I know, Van, you wanted to mention some news on the latest graduation rates from the city of Rochester.
Well, one of the things the mayor says that is fair game, she talks about, she has said repeatedly that, and I think it was even in the clip that you played, that we would sustain the status quo. We would have people living in status quo. Well, you know the definition. You're a journalist. You know the definition of the term status quo. Status quo would mean that when Malik and I started, the graduation rate was about 39%, right? That means only 39% of our kids graduated within 4 years. Now, I'm not going to give away any secrets right now, but you know, based on last year's graduation rates, it was good number, way above 39%. So this constant drum beating of the sound about status quo, it's just not factually accurate. And so when we announce what the June 2019 graduation rates are, it's not going to be what it was when Malik and I started, which would be, it would be about 39, 41, 42%, because that would be the status quo. In fact, it's significantly higher. And in fact, I'm really encouraged by what people are going to hear about East High School, which, as Malik will tell you, was an initiative of the Board of Education, not the superintendent. That was an initiative of the Board of Education. All seven members decided that not only were we going to work in partnership with the University of Rochester, but we were going to invest heavily. Malik will recall, we invested heavily in East High School. And as the business world would say, it is reaping benefits. We're getting a return on that investment. So when people tune in at 4 o'clock, they will see that it is not the status quo.
So give us the numbers. You've gone from 39-40% to what's the graduation right now?
Well, I can tell you 39-40% when Malik, Cynthia, and I started. You know, out of respect for your colleagues that don't work in this building, that we sort of have said, hey, listen, we're going to convene at 4 o'clock. I'm not going to say. But I can also tell you this, Evan, you may recall, that when
I can't let you get away with that fan.
Okay,
white,
all right,
because I'm going to now read from Tim Macaluso.
Tim
Macaluso.
My colleague, what did Tim say?
My colleague at City Newspaper reports the following this morning. And so, because Tim's already reported it, and we're very proud of our journalism, here's what he writes. The Rochester City School District's 2018-2019 graduation rate is 57.8%.
Actually, he's got that wrong, and he knows that. It's 58%. It's
58%. Okay.
All right.
58%.
Yep.
An increase of approximately 3.5 percentage points over last year, continuing the rate's upward trajectory. An even larger jump at East Upper and Lower School has exceeded some district officials' expectations. I'm reading from Tim's piece. East's graduation rate for its first full four-year student cohort.
What's this? Drum roll.
65%.
65%. 13 percentage points over last year, June of 2000.
But Van, whether it's the mayor or somebody else, they may say, you can't dance in the streets
at 58%. No. Nobody's dancing. But progress is the fuel of hope. Listen, if it was 39%, what would people be talking about?
They'd be status quo.
Status quo. My point is merely, it is not the status quo. Who's read a Webster's Dictionary's definition of status quo would say that is status quo. It's not. Now, nobody's celebrating. No one's saying mission accomplished. No one's breaking any champagne bottles and saying congratulations. But you got to understand, we come from a district that is one of the poorest communities in the nation, right? And whenever there is opportunity for hope, including whether it's a reduction in the excessive use of force, a reduction in the number of African Americans that are arrested for possessing marijuana in the city streets, whether it's a reduction in the number of children that are experiencing lead poisoning, number of people that have access to prenatal care, whenever those numbers move in a favorable direction, we as a community should recognize that. Why? Because, not because you want to celebrate the Board of Education or any particular superintendent, but as a community, we are a community in need of hope. And hope comes from data.
Malik, you want to respond to those numbers? What do you make of them?
Oh, it's great. I mean, we need to continue to be on the upward trajectory. I think that the questions that we always have to answer, and I was an advocate for this when I was on the board, and I'm still an advocate, is how do we continue to find ways to increase those numbers going forward, and how do we ensure that at the younger grades we continue to put the correct investments in so kids are graduating on time. And ready and prepared for work. So I think obviously when things are good, you should highlight those things. And then when things need to be improved, we also have to talk about those things. So
that's right.
It's great to hear always when numbers are going up, but we recognize, we celebrate those successes, but then we have to roll up our sleeves and continue to work because we still have work to do to ensure that when students are graduated, that they are career and college ready, and that all of our students are reading by third grade, that more of our students continue to be enrolled in pre-kindergarten programs, because there are such delays and deficits as they enter the school district. So there's a lot of work to do. Celebrate, roll up sleeves, and then get back to work.
Now, before I jump to some phone calls here, just to make sure I understand your position as a member of council and as a past school board president, you're saying your position has been consistent in that you want voters to have choice, particularly if you're talking about changing a governance structure, right? So that's why what I think you're saying is, if the court system decides the referendum's okay, then we should do it. If the courts don't, you respect the judge's decision.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right, because because if you are going to talk about changing and this is the way it is in other places, if you're going to talk about changing lots of different things, people should be able to weigh in.
Sure.
On it. And that was my argument 10 years ago. I said, hey, you want to have mayoral control? Okay, let the people decide that. Now, obviously, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the advisory and all the case law associated with that. But if we were going to do something like that, and the reason why I say that is because one of the things that frustrates me is too many people in this community. Now I represent lots of people. Van represents lots of people. As elected officials, you represent lots of people. Well, oftentimes what you get is people will stand up and say, well, the people of Rochester or the citizens of America. And that's such a broad stroke when we speak as if we know what people are saying. I've heard people on all sides of this issue. Some people say, yeah, the state should take over. Some people say, are you crazy? No way the state should take over. So the only way you really can know that is if you had some type of poll, some type of pulse.
What would you vote?
What would I vote?
In a referendum.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I'd have to think about it, but I've
senator,
which
is the show's term for someone who's dodging a question.
But I will say that I've always been in favor of, I was opposed to mayoral control. But I mean, I would have to study the issue to see what the state would say.
Why oppose mayoral control, but maybe say state control could be okay?
I'm not saying that state control could be okay.
You're saying you're open to it.
If the graduation rate fell 20 points, then maybe
but it's not
like that.
It's not. that's clearly not the case.
It's
and
not.
The trends have been. Let me just say, Evan, on this issue of the referendum, the reason why people should not support it, if you believe Judge Odorizzi, and it was a very comprehensive, thoughtful examination of the law,
not according to city attorneys.
Well, of course, I'm a lawyer and I get the adversarial process, but if you believe Judge Odorizzi. And some may not. I understand that. It's against the law. Councilman Evans just said, well, listen, we should take a poll. As Judge Odorizzi said, and that's where it stands right now, the law says that such referenda are illegal. And let me just explain why. Because public officials, this is what the law says. This is why it says you can't take a poll, use a referendum as a poll. Because public officials should not run from their responsibilities of making decisions. Because what you're doing is you're basically commissioning a poll through a voting mechanism. You're asking voters to pay for a poll. That's essentially what it is. If you got a hard decision to make as an elected official, you got to make it. New York State defines when a referendum can take place. New York State is very clear when you can use referendum. The law is very clear. Using a referendum for this purpose is not lawful. And on top of that, what Judge Odorizzi said is he examined the law. So why is it significant for a public official like myself or Councilman Evans? Because when we get sworn in, whether it's at City Council, 130 School Board, which is 131 West Broad Street, and City Hall is 30 Church Street, no matter where you get sworn in, you know what the first thing you do before you say anything is you take an oath. And that oath at 30 Church Street and 131 West Broad Street is to enforce the laws of the state of New York and the Constitution of the state of New York. Judge Odorizzi lays out, you got to assume, we have a system of government. People talk about, we're like people in Washington. But if you really think about this, Evan, who's being like the people in Washington? Trump gets a decision from a level of government, the third branch of government, and denigrates it, talks about how it's a twisted decision. You've heard that come from Washington.
You're going to compare the mayor to
Trump?
No,
well, what I'm saying is how she is dealing with a decision administered by the third branch of government, her and her surrogates calling it twisted. And one person said, I don't care. This is literally what one elected official said. I don't care what the judge said. We teach our children day in and day out that we have a system of government where it's three levels, executive, legislative, and judicial. What you're hearing in their, and everybody's entitled, I'm a lawyer, and the mayor's a lawyer. We're entitled to have an opinion about a decision, say it's wrong. But as elected officials, we teach children every day that we have a three levels of government and each are co-equal. And that means we have to respect them. So when Trump goes off and uses derogatory language about that branch of government rather than just analytically assessing the decision, yes, that's disrespectful. And so when people say the reasoning used by lawyers was twisted in light of the decision, was twisted, and one official, elected official in Monroe County says, I don't care what the judge says. What are we teaching our children?
All right.
Go ahead, Malik. The other point I wanted to make, too, is that I think it's important for people to remember that the state is the ultimate authority as it relates to whether or not a state takes over the school district. So I think that that's important for people to know. Now, one of the other proposals I pushed for, because I remember people were saying we shouldn't waste money on a referendum or a poll, is I said then an independent person could run a
sure.
poll, you know, we a referendum, whatever. You could do that if
you sure could. Wanted. So as long as it's scientific, right?
As long as it's scientific, or vote, you could have an actual vote. You could have people go. You could pay.
Sure.
So you could pay, and you can do it that way. So I think that that's also an option, because the point that I want to make is that whenever you're talking about, and I keep saying this, whenever you're talking about changing the governance system, and I want to be consistent, I said it 10 years ago, people should be able to weigh in one way or the other. Now, if the courts say it's illegal, you can't, they can't weigh in, you can't do it because it's legal or illegal.
You want to see somebody else fund it and conduct this poll?
I don't know, because you know what? It's not that big of an issue for me personally, because I told you what my issues were in terms of education. And these conversations are important that we're having.
But it sounds like you think that could happen.
It could happen. I don't know. I mean, if you wanted to pay for it, Evan. you got a lot of money. You're making big bucks. but I think the bigger issue is if someone wanted to do that, they could do that. But I think the bigger issues that we have to stay focused on as a community, and I know I keep saying the same thing, is that this system is so big, and we have such great challenges in Rochester and in the school system. And if we lose sight of summer learning, pre-K, career technical education, expanding exponentiary learning, expanding programs like the East High School Partnership, we are going to lose so much time. And our kids don't have that much time to lose. We have to work together to see how we're going to be able to work together as a city and a school district to move these issues forward. And that's what I'm interested in.
Keep it.
As it relates to the referendum, yes, it's important. I think we should continue to talk about it. But for me personally, these are so many issues that I'm going to continue to talk about forever.
You got to keep it tight.
Yeah. I will.
On your mic for me.
I'm sorry. What Councilman, I have a tough time saying it because he hasn't had that position that long. What Councilman Evans has said is right. We need to focus on the end results, whether those kids are reading at a proficient level, whether they understand mathematics at a proficient level, a level appropriate for their age cohort. It is whether children are graduating. And what suggests the connection between the conversation about state takeover and the graduation results, which we were supposed to announce it for, which we're now announcing, it looks like at 12:35, is this. Councilman Evans says, we need to focus on those things. What do you think, I'm not asking him this, but what do you all think those steady increases in graduation rate reflect? Long before the DE got here.
Well, I'm going to get our first bit of feedback here. And if you're on the phone, let's rip through a lot of it. But the first is going to come from Twitter, which is on that point.
Okay.
You're saying, what does it reflect?
Yep.
Here's Robert Hargard, who ran for school board, did not win.
Sure.
Saying, President White needs to stop touting the graduation rate. The career and college readiness rates are abysmal. Last time we heard it was 6%. No hope in the data there. 6%. What good is a paper that means nothing? Our kids aren't ready for college or the world of work. That's
what I would
Robert.
Say to Mr. Hargard. He hasn't talked to that mother or auntie or uncle that saw their child, their nephew, their niece cross that stage. He obviously hasn't spoken to the mother who I saw, the mothers and fathers who crossed that stage with their child held against their breast. That diploma that New York State gives based on the degree to which you pass a Regents exam, New York State sets the standard in terms of people graduating. So according to the state of New York, that degree means something because they don't just hand them out like candy. Do you know New York State is one of only 14 states in the union that requires a test, multiple tests to graduate? New York State is very unique in that regard. So
how do you
measure
college readiness or whatever metric you care about?
Well, I've been asking our staff about that repeatedly. The fact is, to Mr. Haggard, I would say that the performance index, how they measure college readiness, has not really been comprehensively determined yet. For example, I would ask him, how many times have you heard people say the SAT scores are culturally biased, right? Are they using that as a measure of proficiency? Or you know where he's getting this data from? He's 6%. I have no idea where he got that from because the state isn't giving that number. But let me say this. Is he getting it from conversations, anecdotal conversations he had with people at area community college when they say—
He's worked at one school, CUCA.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, at area community college. And then I would say, okay— is there any, no offense to these community colleges, they're doing great things, but do we really know the reliability of that data? Because how many of those colleges get money to get kids to become college ready? So we really don't know. So what I've suggested to our staff and what I've suggested to the chancellor, what I've suggested to the commissioner, is that we get some standards about what that means, because our kids should be college and career ready. But this, quite honestly, this conversation about the graduation rate and really not being credible is an affront to all those people that cross the stage and work real hard, overcome obstacles, homelessness, poverty, rearing children when they're young. It's just downright disrespectful to them. And I also got to tell you, why is it that when Malik and I were on the board many years ago, everybody found that graduation rate number credible? It's 39%. It's 39%. This is unfair. This is unfair. It's unfortunate. People don't care about kids. That was the number that people lived or died for. But now that it's gone up 20 percentage points, it's no longer the credible number. Why is that? People are pimping problems. And they take some people, not Mr. Hager, take some joy in being able to say you're not being successful. And I want to tell people, you're not talking about me. You're talking about that mother that I saw, multiple mothers and fathers, crossing that stage with their children saying, I did something
right. Malik, do you think people are pimping problems, as Van says?
I don't know if I would use that term. You've been hanging. look, I think that data can be interpreted, cut, and instructed many different ways. The bottom line is that we want to make sure that kids are career in college ready. I think it is important to note, and I used to say this to people when I was on the school board, the state actually sets the standards for graduation rates, which you're required to take. The state sets that. So the state plays a major, major role in terms of overall graduation rate, number, requirements that you have to do, whether or not you have to take a readiness exam or not, whether or not you're exempt if you have some type of special need. So, I mean, really, those numbers rest with the state. So I always tell people, if you got problems with the calculation around that, you have to go to the state. But the message is important that we want to make sure people were college and career ready.
Sure. And are graduates career ready?
I was. I'm a proud Rochester City School District graduate. I was very career and college ready. I graduated from the University of Rochester. I got a great education in the Rochester City School District. Are some not? Of course they're not.
Yeah, some are not.
Of course some aren't. But I think whenever we have a conversation, and because education is such an emotional issue, and this is why I try to bring us back to issues, Evan, we sometimes can boil up the temperature so hard and then not start talking about things that
let me just say, data is the way to do that. Data is the way to bring the conversation to a point where you can talk objectively about what's happening. And as Malik said, hey, listen, the state sets the standards. And they say, as compared to other state standards throughout this country, we have a very high standard with respect to what our kids need to graduate. And you have to at least pass 5 exams. Now, are there kids who are not college and career ready? Absolutely. I see them in the courtroom. They're my clients. They're my relatives. But I can also tell you this. There are plenty of children, plenty of young people that are making their way into society, and I'm blessed to have 2 of them. My son was a teacher in the district and is now doing quite well in the field of education. My daughter was in the Peace Corps. District graduates K-12. So, yeah, Mr. Haggard and others can find people that are not college and career ready, and it is our absolute sworn obligation to assist those folks. But you cannot denigrate the thousands over the course of the last 5-6 years that have graduated by saying, okay, well, these people have not, we're not college and career ready. That's not fair. That's not right to those graduates.
All right, in Rochester, this is DeMela on the phone. Go ahead, DeMela.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just called to say I'm not a fan of the mayor, never have been, probably never will be, and I did hear that interview with her and you back in July of 2017. Also, I'm not a fan of the school board. I do, however, hope that someday I will be a fan. And I will say for years I was not a fan of Van White. But I can tell you, over the years, and I pride myself with extremely high attention to detail, and I follow things closely. And Van White has grown more than anybody I've seen grow. And he takes his position very seriously. He's extremely honest, which is extremely rare. And I remember losing that poor kid, Trayvon Martin. And I remember Van White coming out and outright admitting failure in terms of negligence based on RCSD and the school board. And I was extremely disheartened that he failed at getting a judgeship, because I honestly believe he would make a great judge. But for years, I didn't care for him. I didn't care for most people on the school board. But I give credit where credit is due. And I really appreciate how hard it's obvious to me that he has dug deep, extremely deep, and is working extremely hard to do the best he can, given the situation in which he finds himself.
Damela, thanks for the phone call. And just to kind of correct the record, as our listeners probably... Trevion, not Trayvon. Of course, yeah. Trayvon Martin in Florida, Trevion Rowe in Rochester. But there's a phone caller who is just looking for signs of good faith effort. And that's why, if listeners are wondering, why did Evan key in on what the mayor said? When the mayor sets down a marker that says she thinks that leadership, that she has a different idea about where to go in the future of the city school district, when she thinks the people she disagrees with are actively acting in bad faith to hurt kids on purpose, I imagine that makes it hard to work together going forward. Now, if the mayor's right, then she needs to be calling it from the rooftop. She needs to be calling it from the mountaintops. If Van White and Willa Powell and the leadership of the district are actively trying to prevent the kids from succeeding, from getting out of poverty, then I think that Rochester owes the mayor a debt of gratitude. The caller feels that that what he sees is people acting in good faith. And, Damela, I appreciate that. Let's go to Mary next in Rochester. Go ahead, Mary. Hi, Mary. Go ahead. Mary, we've lost you. All right, let's go next to Rich in Rochester. Go ahead, Rich.
Hi, Evan. How you doing?
Very good, sir.
I'm Malik, and man.
How you doing?
I find, I found what the mayor's say, it was reprehensible because she had a chance to think about this. She has been thinking about this for months. What she said was not a slip of the tongue. It was a calculated statement. I have a problem with that. So I have a problem with her using what I consider bully tactics. I had the privilege of knowing both of those men that you have up there and having discussions with them. And I know they're very, very honest in their view. Also, to the point of referendum, I have a problem with referendums because we are a representative government. We are not
Rich, we lost you. So, sorry about that, Rich. But I know there's some strong views. You heard Rich saying he's got a problem with what he thinks are the mayor's bully tactics. But here's Randall, who writes to say, the mayor's words have been tough, but I agree completely. I've lived in Rochester 28 years. I've never seen much improvement in the city schools. It's clear the current school administration have failed not just their students, but also the people of Rochester by robbing them of their potential that would have benefited the city by having talented young people who would help drive the city economy. Look how successful Mayor Warren has been, and I believe she attended Rochester schools as a child. She's doing an excellent job for the city. The teachers' union also would benefit from a change in leadership. Every time I hear Adam Urbanski speak, all I hear is rhetoric that, when boiled down, is just about keeping their jobs. That's from Randy in Rochester. So I know there's strong emotionally charged views, and in a minute I got to let Malik Evans go. So before I let you go, I want to ask you, you've been on the school board, you've been the president of the school board, you're part of Rochester City Council. There is powerful emotion on the phones, in our emails, in the mayor's words, among some members of the school board. What's the path forward here to actually find solutions?
The path forward is that everyone who has these strong emotions has to get in the same room. And all these folks that have these strong emotions, present company included, myself, we all have to be in the same room. And people, because what happens often, what I found when I was board president, and just in general, in my years of mediation, is that sometimes we can talk past each other and we can say the same things, but if we're not all in the same room, working towards a common agenda, we just continue to find not common ground, but the battleground. And I think that we do have serious challenges in Rochester. We need to own those challenges, not be afraid to talk about them, but at the same time ask, how are we going to do well? Because there's a saying that says when two elephants fight, it's an African proverb, when two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. And I always say I don't want to be that elephant. I don't want that grass to suffer, because it's our children that do. I think at the end of the day, regardless of how things shake out, we all have to get in the room and look at a path forward, because guess what? We have no choice. We're all here in the city. And as the city does well, as the city goes, the city school district goes. As the city school district goes, the city goes. We're just so interconnected in more ways than one, and we have to find ways to work together. And I'm committed to doing that. It's been the story of my career, and I will continue to do that as best I can. And I will continue to try to work with my my former buddy here.
Former
school board buddy. That's former right. School board colleague, but still partner in government.
Absolutely.
Here to see what we can do to work together to move the system and our overall city forward.
All right, so after our only break of the hour, we're right back to your phone calls. Malik Evans has to go to a prior engagement, and let me say this as we let him go, Van White will stay with us for the remainder of the hour. I don't think I or this program are entitled to anyone's time. And the mayor has decided she doesn't think the show was fair to her. And I have to respect that, and I regret that. And I'll keep working to try to change your mind on that. I will say that Van White, Malik Evans, and a number of others, they know they're going to come on this program. They'll be challenged by listeners. They'll be challenged by the host. And hopefully we engage respectfully and thoughtfully. And you're always here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, that's Malik Evans. Let's take that break and come right back on Connections.
Councilman Evans.
Coming up in our second hour, Saturday Night Live decided to parody the Celino and Barnes jingle. But the Atlantic Monthly says the age of the television jingle is dead. We're going to talk to the man who created the famous Celino and Barnes jingle, the one that's been stuck in your head many times over the years. He's done a lot more than that. We're going to talk about the art of creating TV jingles and earworms. What are your favorites and most loathed? Next hour. Welcome back to the program. I'm Evan Dawson. Let's go ahead and get back to your phone calls. I'll go to Roger in Williamson next. Go ahead, Roger.
Hey, Evan. I just wanted to make a comment. I think it speaks tons that the mayor won't come on your show. I think you're the fairest moderator there is. You listen to both sides. We don't talk at people. I felt that way before, and after listening to the show, I even feel more that way. I'm from in Wayne County, so I'm not a city person, but I have kind of followed it through your show and the news. And the fact that she won't come on and discuss it with you just slants my opinion. And I just wanted to let you know the show is great, and I love your thoughtful, thought-provoking discussions. And I love it that you'll always are willing to change your mind if somebody can make you see a different point of view. That's all I have to say.
Roger, it means a lot, and I appreciate it, and I take that to heart. Let me at least, real briefly, not to belabor the point, but let me at least take up for the mayor for one moment here. Imagine you are an African-American woman in politics in this country. Can you imagine the junk that women in politics take, that African-Americans take? Can you imagine what it must be like trying to lead a city? I wouldn't read social media message boards. We saw that during both of her campaigns. She has a lot to deal with. Now imagine that you feel, right or wrong, that a media source was not fair to you. Why would you waste your time? Mayor Warren thought I was unfair with her. Why would she waste her time if she thinks she's not going to get a fair shake? Now, it's her point of view, and I disagree with her, and I'm going to try to convince her, but I respect her. And if she thought it was a waste of time or that we were unfair, she ought not come back. And I wouldn't expect anyone to come on this program if they don't think we're going to be fair. Roger, I'm encouraged that you think that we're generally fair on this program. We work hard to be, and I appreciate that. But the mayor is very busy, and she takes a lot of heat from a lot of different places. And so I only say I'm going to keep working on that. Let's go ahead and get back to Patty in Rochester next. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi, Evan. Wow, this is exciting. I love your show. I just want to thank both Van White and Malik for all the work that they've done. My two sons have gone through the city school district. They had wonderful experiences. It was the schools they were in, the teachers they had, everybody was wonderful. And I get sad about you know, the negative press that we're constantly getting. Both of my kids went to RIT. One went to RIT, went to U of R, and because they graduated from the city schools, they were able to get scholarships, and they would have never been able to do that if it wasn't for the programs that were put in place. They were very well prepared. So, you know, we're one of those statistics that Van was talking about. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Thanks very much. Go ahead, Van.
You know, again, I don't think the anecdotal evidence can prove general conclusions. Like I was saying with respect to Mr. Haggard, he may in fact have spoken to people. I probably have spoken to the same people that aren't college and career ready. However, I can look at my own experience, just like the last caller, and tell you that both my kids, my older kids, went to K through 12, ended up at Wilson and the IB program. I think both of my children will tell you that IB program, that rigorous IB program, prepared them for college life. One went to Temple and the other one went to SUNY Buffalo. Both are really committed. And most importantly, I got to tell you, of my two older kids that went to city schools, I'm proud of the servants. They're going to kill me if they knew I was saying this. The servants that they become. And the reason why they become the servants to the community they become is in part because of the education they received in the city school district. So let me repeat. I realize, and my colleagues realize, there are many challenges ahead. There are many students that aren't as fortunate or as blessed to be able to be college and career ready. I'm not debating that. And it is our sworn obligation to make progress on that. But if you look at the DNC's article, I think it really summarizes really well where we're at. It doesn't say anybody's celebrating, but it recognizes that we're making progress. And that's important.
All right, let me get another phone call. And it's a lot of people who ran for school board joining the program today. Howard Eagle next on the phone. Hi, Howard.
How you doing, Evan?
Very good, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry Malik had to leave because I have two questions, one that is directed to both of them, but one is related to what Malik said just before he left. We could talk about graduation rate and, you know, whether or not young people are career and college ready, but we know they're not, and we need to talk about the masses. I'm glad to hear Van say that there's anecdotal evidence, because every example that I've heard so far today does not reflect what's happening with the majority, with the masses of children in this district. We don't need really all that much data to tell us that you can't have a multi-billion-dollar remediation program at the college level unless you have failure at K-12. So it's too bad you can't get more in-depth in this discussion. There's a lot to talk about, and there are ways to determine who's ready and who's not in terms of percentages and patterns and so forth. There are ways, and it doesn't have to do with just state standards. As a matter of fact, I see some of those young people in classes that I teach at SUNY Brockport who can barely read and write at the college level. And professors all over this county would tell you that they can identify urban students in general. Not always, there are exceptions, but that's what we're talking about, the exception and not the rule. So my question, though, is this is a direct quote, Commissioner White, from the superintendent when we met with him on June 26th, the day after the election. He said to us, this is a direct quote, that he has wondered, how can we have a 60% graduation rate when proficiency rates are in the low teens? That was his question.
Okay.
Specifically, I'm quoting him. How would you answer that? And secondly, it was good to hear Malik talking about us getting in one room, because that really is a solution. And we already got the blueprint. It's in the Aquino report. The recommendation from the Aquino report, 84 or whatever it was,
yeah.
That's the solution. We just need to implement. We need to get in one room. But the question is, who then, other than the mayor, because we make it sound like it's her responsibility solely, whose role is it to get everybody in the one room?
Yeah, that's fair. And Howard, let me just jump in because we're going to lose time. You got about a minute left here. So hit the proficiency versus graduation. Go ahead, Van.
Well, it depends on which proficiency rate you're talking about. You're talking about proficiency rates of third graders and how do they get to the point of graduating. A lot can happen between third grade and 12th grade. For example, one of the things that the DNC points out is that our dropout rate has declined significantly. We're doing a better job of keeping kids in their seats till graduation. What does that mean for proficiency rates? It means those kids that weren't in the classroom, we're now doing a better job at getting them, holding them, and getting them up to speed. We have improved our ability, and we're not there yet. There's a long way to go. Again, let me just reject what was suggested earlier. Nobody's celebrating. But with this kind of diligent focus, you realize, okay, well, now we're getting kids to graduate according to state graduation standards. But there's other things that underlie that. And that includes college and career readiness. But let me caution people from drawing conclusions based on what happened to my son, Mr. Eagle's son, my daughter, or things that didn't happen with people. We cannot prove what is happening by talking about, oh, I got people in my class, or I know people in my neighborhood. We have to look at the data, and we are committed to looking at the data not only for graduation rates, but college and career readiness.
And he's also asking, whose job is it to get everybody in the same room together? Well, it's a lot of people's job, and that's going to be a process.
Well, I can tell you, folks should pay attention. We're developing a process to look at our plan that the state just approved to engage the entire community in the vetting of that plan.
Keep coming back here.
Absolutely.
Let's continue the conversations with the school board president, Van White. Malik Evans, member of city council, also joined us this hour. And an open invitation to City Hall going forward. Let's take that only break, and we're coming right back on Connections.